Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals, have an hour to finish up
their damn cinema.
Is this the end?
We're getting there.
Are we finishing?
No. We're doing a Jar Jar script, scene by scene, page by page, one episode. Fucking hell, Will, I'm never going
to
get it.
After this week, we don't have to get it, because I think this week we're done. Week by week, scene by scene, page by page, one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. All right, where are we at?
Well, we'll introduce ourselves.
My name is Freddie Wong, Jar Jar fanatic. I got the floppy ears.
I'm Will Campos, and the Techno Union Army supports your proposal.
That's weird.
Remember that guy? The little knobs?
Yeah. I don't. My name's Matt Arnold, and I just missed you, Will. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm back in town.
Yeah, Will's on vacay.
Good job reading my scene, boys. I have not listened to it yet, but I hope you guys didn't do anything too rowdy with it.
No, we didn't change. It was good.
No, it was fun. You would have liked my Jar Jar as Vader voice.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go back and listen to it. Usually by the time I'm done writing those, I'm like, I never want to think about this again. Until next week, and here we are. So, yeah, I think...
Are we gonna write the end?
I think this week is just, we got to end the damn movie.
Yeah, okay.
We're getting pretty close. It does feel like if we didn't end it, like, I think if we get to Vader killing Jar Jar this episode.
What else is there?
You got to end it, right? Yeah. I don't think we want to do another next week. We're like.
Yeah, we didn't just do a whole episode just to show Jin's tree.
Yeah, you got to wrap it up. It's time to wrap. It's July.
All right, it's almost August, boys.
It's time to wrap this up.
Yeah, it's time to be done.
We started January 1st. It's going to be August before
this comes out. Did we start January?
Yeah, we started for a brand new spanking year.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what? Not a bad run.
Yeah.
8 months to write. I mean, considering
we took a little break for Max.
Yeah, we took a break and we still essentially are going to write it. I mean, that's as long as it took to write our other script, and we weren't doing it one scene at a time.
Not nearly as good.
Yeah.
Not nearly.
All right. So where last we left Jar Jar, where did we? Okay. Remind me. So
Nate 38 has actuated.
Yes.
Themselves.
Nate 38 has turned into a TIE fighter.
It's very good.
Or flying a TIE fighter through Vader's flight simulator interface.
Nate 38 is flying a TIE fighter to go kill Croquet Seal. And Jar Jar is running off to shut down the reactor.
Mm-hmm.
And Darth Vader has realized that Jar Jar has been betraying him this whole time and is zooming back through space, having killed Ghost Qui-Gon Jinn, to confront Jar Jar. So.
Okay, so here's the pickle.
Mm-hmm.
The pickle.
The pickle.
Here's the pickle that we're in. What does that even mean? Why we're in a pickle? Because we're stuck in a jar? Like you're stuck in a jar?
I don't know where the etymology of a pickle comes from.
In the 17th century. Oh, interesting.
Pickle was a derogatory slur for. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
In a sermon John Fox gave on 2 Corinthians, in this pickle lieth man by nature. That is all we that be Adam's children. So basically saying humans are in a pickle. But why a pickle?
That's just the first time someone used it.
Here it is in the Tempest. How camp'st thou in this pickle? I have been in such a pickle since I saw you last.
That is, I forgot that Shakespeare wrote the original version of Pickle Rick.
Exactly.
And then Prospero was really the original Pickle
Prospero
Rick.
Prospero says, check it out, Caliban. I've turned myself into a pickle. Verily.
Lubbeth dub dubbeth, I believe is the quote.
Pickle. To be
fucking kill me.
To pickle as in like to be drunk in Shakespeare's case here. So it's like, since you preserve thing also in alcohol.
Does not mean what we're in a pickle means. Okay. All right. So anyways, the point was, the main ending that we've always planned for, I don't quite know if we've set up, which is, I guess.
Oh, shit, fucked up. Whee! What a predicament!
That is why you have second drafts. Is Jar Jar, I get how Jar Jar is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I get how Jar Jar is going to convince Darth Vader that he betrayed him, because he did, and that this USB drive with the fake names is Vader's going to think is real, because, you know, he's going to be like, oh, like, you were trying to upload these or whatever. Like, this is the ultimate. What I don't get is, how is everybody going to think Jar Jar was actually for the Empire?
Everyone dies. Croquet dies. All the people who know Jar Jar wasn't fucking...
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Scorched Earth.
As I was thinking about, I was like, do all the rebels need to show up? That's why all the rebels and the resistance show up, is that they fucking get killed by...
So no one
that knows Jar Jar is on their side. And again, like, honestly, even like, remember, they went radio silent. They have no idea who betrayed or didn't betray them or whatever, right?
Here we go. Perfect. It's actually really good that we didn't have. The final thing should be, because Nate 38 survives.
Yeah.
Nate 38 loves Jar Jar. Nate 38 tried really hard to be a good governor. Nate 38 gives a eulogy or whatever, like, to, you know, after the big accident happens.
Oh,
like,
she seals his fate.
Yeah, like the Emperor, don't worry, the Emperor and Darth Vader has survived. Unfortunately, we've lost, like, one of our great Imperial heroes.
Yes.
You know, Jar Jar. And then you cut across the solar system and people are like, that fucking man died a traitor, you know, sort of thing. Execute. Literally, Jar Jar died trying to defend the Emperor from the resistance is like what he's known as.
Yeah. Like Jar Jar being thwarted. And it's like the, if you're going to do anything, you do the Emperor realize, like, they blow up New Centrif and they're like, oh, this is not polling well. Right. And they're like, oh, let's just blame it on Jar Jar. This was all Jar Jar's plan.
Yeah. I guess the question was, do you want Jar Jar to know his fate before he dies?
Yeah. I don't think
dude.
Okay. Yeah.
What is he gonna like? It wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, he.
Yeah,
no,
I know. I'm just trying. It's been so long. I just remember. I thought in our original break, it was like Jar Jar knowing when he makes this decision, he's gonna be seen as like an Imperial, but he does it anyways to do the right thing, knowing that. Like,
oh, I see what you mean.
Because like for somebody who cared a lot about like being a good guy or being seen or being popular, like him essentially making a decision that is going to doom him to, you know, notoriety after his death. I don't know if we've set that up.
It's funny that, like, when you talk all high-mindedly about screenwriting, it's like, well, the ending is really, like, the summation.
The crux, if you will.
You don't have anything until you have your ending.
Controlling idea.
Like, I don't know, does he care or not? What do you think will work for the purposes of the person 30 seconds into this scene? How will they feel about it in the exact moment of what's going on?
I mean, we can't really... We have not set up Jar Jar to really make a decision.
Jar Jar's not like obsessed with his public image or anything like that. Jar Jar's always genuinely
trying to do good. It's shifted a lot. And frankly, like a lot of the good stuff, his drunk Vader is all the best stuff in this script.
This is really a drunk Darth Vader movie. In terms of plot, and then we can figure out how this executes, right? So we have, there are a couple questions I still have. One, does New Centrif blow up or not? Two, how does Croquet die? And three, like, what does this scene, how does Jar Jar die? What does this scene turn around? Do you know what I mean? In terms of how Darth Vader kills Jar Jar, what is dramatically going on? Is it like he runs into the big fucking room where the flippy switch is and then Darth Vader rounds the corner and is standing in front of it, right? Do you do, it's like one of those things where Jar Jar's like, I have to turn the switch off. And Darth Vader's like, don't make me kill you. And he's like, don't kill me. And then he walks. It's basically like a Jar Jar knows Darth Vader's going to kill him, but he still walks forward to turn off that switch. Or is it like, what do you do? Do you know what I mean?
Like, what is just the physicality of it?
What is the physical drama going on in the scene that results in this happening?
And can it have something to do with Jar Jar's nuts?
And can Jar Jar rack his nuts?
Just one more time, you know, for old time's sake.
Ignoring the specifics, maybe it's too pat, but I feel like the perfect answer is ultimately in this final moments, Jar Jar has, I mean, maybe it's too pat, but you know, you could also do just die quickly. But I feel like the two choices are maybe there is some slim chance for escape, or he actively makes the decision, knowing that it will result in his death, to convince Vader that this fake name list is genuine. So I don't, like, for example, like, it's tough because it's a weird thing physically to be, like, caught with his list. Like, if he already has it, he already has it. But, like,
can I throw this out there? Is the fake nameless thing stupid? Do not stupid, but like it does feel like.
I mean, is it the movie we've written at this point?
I know, but I guess here's what I'd say.
No, I mean, I think you're right. I don't think we've written that.
Yes,
movie right
like
now.
I, it feels vestigial in this moment to me. Yeah. My main concerns right now are like, is the planet going to blow up? Is the city going to blow up? Like, that's what all of the drama is around.
Okay, so here's the answer though. Is like, I think Centrif blows up if you get the sequence of all these Imperial bad guys getting killed.
Yes.
Now, is that also, like, too dark of a victory for Jar Jar? It's, like, a pretty, like,
you're like, oh, but
shadowy...
he outfoxed Darth Vader.
No,
but
it's not even that.
Really,
it's not, like, really, like, heroic. It'd be, like, if instead of Luke Skywalker, like, risking death and blowing up the Death Star, it was, like, Luke
Here's
Skywalker
other...
assassinated 20 people.
Here's the other tricky wicket. This just struck me, and this is maybe another reason to just yeet this away and not worry about it, because I don't know that you need it. And just like, here's a montage of a bunch of random people we've never seen getting killed, because I guess Jar Jar did this super obvious move of, like, oh, no, here's a thumb drive. But here's the thing. Darth Vader literally just went into Qui-Gon Jinn's memories and saw all of the scenes where Qui-Gon Jinn and Jar Jar were talking to each other, which absolutely would have included, like, the fact that Qui-Gon Jinn gave him a thumb drive with all of this shit on it.
Fair enough. We really don't see those scenes, but like, it'd be implied.
But yeah, but I mean, it's... Okay, go ahead, Freddie.
We're already in La La Land here with fucking Mind Palace fights and shit. Like... I don't know. I think it's too hard of a thing to be like, oh, he didn't see that memory. Like, I just from a
it's audience those files standpoint. Got wet.
Yeah, yeah, like it's fine. Like, he didn't see that. He didn't do a full mind. Like, he didn't like go into Qui-Gon's mind and saw every time Qui-Gon was caught looking at like Twilight Born and shit. It's like, he's no. like he doesn't need those details. He's just got the ones relevant to him.
I guess if you were going to do it, you would probably, because I think we literally do describe it as he sees a vivid flood of memories of every time they've interacted with each other.
I mean, it would be this. It would be something like, I mean, not Jar Jar can like leap off the ship and like land in Croquet's ship or whatever, or Jar Jar realizes that Darth Vader is going to kill him. There's nothing he can do. Mm-hmm. So Jar Jar flees, knowing it's only a matter of time. And what Jar Jar does is, like, if he doesn't have that USB drive on him, he like tells Croquet, like, meet me at this airlock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Croquet's like, why? He's like, don't worry about it. Just like, you're going to save me, right? Or whatever it is. And then Croquet's like flying around and Jar Jar is like avoiding Vader and Vader's playing with him. And Jar Jar gets the USB drive and then is at the place where he told Croquet to pick him up. And Jar Jar waits long enough so that Vader sees him. And then he like throws the USB drive out the window and Vader like grabs it. It's like, not so fast. And then he like kills Jar Jar. And then Vader's got it. He's like, you know, let's see what you risked your life to protect or whatever it is. And then it's like the list of stuff, but it's like such a,
it's just a little ropey.
It's also like, was Vader like, Vader's like, Jar Jar must have brought this really valuable list.
Yeah,
that's
the part
the
of it that to me is, I'm like, yes, why would Jar Jar have this, like, oh no, like, why would Jar Jar even have this list of spies on him at this moment?
In which case, regardless, so it's like at its very baseline core, mm-hmm. the distilled core of this, he needs to do something heroic that nobody sees.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
This is true.
And the specifics of it is what we're kind of talking about here, which is whether or not it's this thumb drive, which leads people to the what's it called and the whatchamacallits or what have you. And
it does feel like it should be something to do with the laser, which is the big thing in the scene.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
if we don't blow up, we can't do the unstoppable problem. We just had this. If he stops the laser... then we just,
well, then it blows up it blows up the space station.
He blows up the space station
with him on,
kills
it.
Them all.
Okay, hear me out. Hear me out. This is shit. This doesn't make any sense. There's something.
let's hear it.
All right, this is very convoluted. But like, just go with me on dream logic here, right? Okay. Darth Vader has like a button or a thing on him, mm-hmm. that like you could misdirect the laser with, like, and it would, the sure. laser would target this thing instead of this new centrif, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a magnet that's going to bend the laser to do the thing. Don't get whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You do. Jar Jar like goes to hug Vader. Vader stabs him. He knew Vader was going to stab him. He grabs the thing off of Vader's utility belt while this is happening and then falls to the planet, mm-hmm. and then as he's falling, the laser fires, and the laser, instead of hitting New Centrif, blows up Jar Jar, like it incinerates his body, or he manages to successfully misdirect the laser because he outplayed Darth Vader in this moment, knowing he was going to kill him, but was able to do a thing.
This is one of those scenarios, if you, again, just from a mechanical standpoint, imagine, if you will, the laser separate from the control station, a mm-hmm. real, you know, like, they're sitting on the control arm,
okay,
and there's a laser device that's like a free-floating
We can do that.
Perhaps.
We haven't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, this is one of those things where it's like the move is like to deflect it and it blows up the station or whatever. The laser's mm-hmm. still there. They blew up the station he was on. He saved the city, but he died, right? Like, whatever, right? Like, that's the kind of thing.
It's tough because, like, the script's taking some different turns, but, yes. like, protecting New Centrif is such a non-climax.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
they're
right.
like, you're on Naboo.
Let it be dark. Let the
yeah,
city
it's
blow
all,
up,
it's
right?
also like, this is the point. It's the beginning of the war. We know where the war goes. Like, yes. it's not like we believe that resistance is going to live on Naboo. That's the Emperor's home planet. Like, mm-hmm. this place is wiped out.
Yeah.
Like, it feeling like a start again. It's definitely taking some shifts, but this being like Army of Shadows a la Jar Jar, it's like, ultimately, his victory is a smaller, more discreet one. And in a sense, there is a bit of a tragedy because ultimately he does a heroic thing that nobody will know about. And the heroic thing that he did is the sort of dark, clandestine sort of action that yes. Qui-Gon wanted in the first place. And that's the reality of war, you know, mm-hmm. and he does it. And ultimately, the real cost of this is like him and Vader like lost themselves, you know, to some degree. But again, the idea is that Jar Jar kind of keeps his soul in these final moments, ultimately. So it's like maybe this clandestine like assassination is like the wrong kind of angle, because in the original one, in the original break, it was the equivalent of all this stuff goes to shit. Like New Central blows up, the war's lost, but he does this one thing that maybe nobody else cares about, but that he cares about, which is like save these prisoners, like whenever that happens.
Yes, that was the original.
So maybe the problem
thing
is that like his subtle victory being like a clandestine assassination. Like
it doesn't quite feel.
It feels,
yes,
yeah, it feels gross.
Right.
It feels
that's,
gross. It
yes,
doesn't feel
right.
Like.
That's what the problem is, I think.
And I don't know if we've set up anything that he can do, unfortunately.
Could he save Croquet? Is that a...
But then Croquet would...
But I'm a little like, I feel like we've already pulled that rabbit out of the hat. Like, I don't...
Yeah, and Croquet is like a badass.
Yes, you're right.
Soldier.
But yes, this is part of the problem, is just like him being like, oh, he saved some... Like, yes, because that proves the point that life matters more than like all this cloak and dagger stuff. And, you know, like him using the cloak and dagger, like trickery to save someone is feels better than him just doing it to like get a bunch of goons whacked or whatever, which is what it feels like right now.
Shit. Because what we would have needed was like, okay, it's not this. It's like, what you have maybe needed is, bear with me.
Okay, go ahead.
If during this whole thing, when like they were doing the resistance stuff, like at one point during this montage back, there's a lot of second draft writing. But I remember we were stuck on that montage of when he first goes undercover with Croquet after the cave sequence, right? Because it's kind of just like, okay, they're coming up with a plan, but like what's really happening in it? A turn of that could have been, again, there's retaliations as the Emperor, because the Emperor and the Empire are looking for resistance fighters all over Naboo, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have a problem. They have a terrorist problem as far as they're concerned. So like them rounding up, like they haven't caught onto New Centrif, but they rounded up an entire town of innocents, you know, and they're set to execution. And then Jar Jar's like, look, what are we doing? Like the more we do undercover fucking terrorist shit, the more innocent people are getting hurt, you know, all over the place. Like, it's a little bit of like, there's this difficulty. And if you could do their execution, like, I'm just wondering if...
Whew. This is a graft and a half. You're talking about just slipping back into this thing,
me.
But keep going.
So group, and you make it really simple. It's like a same thing. It's a fucking, there's a town of a bunch of retired fucking Gungan veterans from the previous war that get caught up in like, as they're searching for resistance fighters, and they're all fucking in prison there. And Jar Jar on the sly has been occasionally trying to fucking convince the Emperor and them to release them. Like, how would you know? It's like, believe me, those aren't the resistance fighters. But like, everybody's like, yo, stop fucking trying to save those people. Like, you're fucking going to blow your cover or whatever. And it's only like a one or two check. It's less checking in than fucking we did for Nate 38 becoming a TIE fighter.
Okay, so you're saying that like a bear bunch of people like pro resistance dissidents are being rounded up or
yes,
something
they
like
were
that.
Rounded up and they're settled for an execution.
Okay, but then how does...
Because the last thing he does before he dies is he like runs away from Vader. It's almost like he has Vader's outfit. Like literally his last action is he like, he knows, like again, not this, but like, just bear with me for the logic of it. It's like this ship is just a fucking prisoner ship. They're like, Emperor, hey, by the way, I know we're about to blow up New Centrif. Really quick, what happened to those prisoners? Is there an exit? He's like, you think anybody cares about a fucking public execution? We're about to blow up New Centrif? No, we just sent that ship out to the sun. They should be dead in about an hour. And Jar's like, oh, yeah, that fucking sucks. And then his last action,
You know, I said drive those guys into the sun. Never mind, bring them back.
This is the way my brain's thinking.
Oh,
but
sir,
like,
the gravity is too strong. We're actually just going into the sun.
But the logistics of it is his last action before he dies. It's like fucking The Rock when he turns the last action is like he fucking uses Vader's, you know, intercom or whatever. And he like fucking sends the ship. He turns the ship around and fucking frees them. And nobody knows what happened. As far as they're concerned, their ship just fucking turned and is landing in Mos Eisley. He like sets course to, you know, whatever. Like you go Alderaan. You go, ooh, they're going to Alderaan. And he saves them. And then he gets killed. And you're like, oh, he saved them. I don't know. It was fucking stupid.
Putting everything else aside.
Okay.
Like just to yes and what we've already done. Yes. And to not use time travel to try to hedge our bets or whatever. Jar Jar runs into this room. Croquet's up in the sky getting blown up. Like they've only got the one missile left. He needs to press the button to open the door so she can shoot the missile in and destroy the ship, right? That's essentially what we've set up, right? He runs into the room. Darth Vader walks around the corner and is like, the only way you're getting to that button is through me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Incredibly fucking simple. All the emotion in the movie right now is between Jar Jar and Darth Vader, right? So what would Jar Jar do in that situation? would he try to make an appeal to Anakin Skywalker? And then he's like, don't fucking talk to me about that. You've been lying to me this whole time or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. Like there's like a, how does that scene just to think, to focus real quick, like on how does that go? Right.
I feel like Darth Vader, in order for it to be scary, cause like we've had a lot of scenes with the two of them close, like mm-hmm. Jar Jar like would essentially start to say something and Anakin would like force choke him, like throw him against the wall. It's like fucking Saruman and Gandalf, like mm-hmm. straight up, like, the moment he realizes, like, you fucking lie. Like, I don't think Anakin's, like, sitting there waiting for, it's like, he's hurt. Like, right?
Yeah,
like,
he's angry.
Like,
yes.
He's been on the edge, and I think it to undermine it, like, I think it has to be, and Jar Jar realizing that it's too, like, he's not going to talk, it's too late, like, in this moment. Like, fucking Anakin's going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And I think Anakin, because he is still, right, if he was the Emperor would just fucking chop his head off because he has no feelings. Anakin still has feelings.
Yes.
So he's fucking playing with
him.
What
does Anakin want in that moment?
I think Anakin wants, I mean, if you're going to go into whatever, like, fucking bullshit psychology, I feel like I think Anakin wants Jar Jar to hurt because he hurts right now, right?
Yes.
Like, I think Anakin is hurt and feels betrayed. So, yes, he's going to kill him, but he's going to fucking make sure he feels it because he's hurting. Because Jar Jar was the last little bit of humanity mm-hmm. that he had left right now.
Okay. That's what Anakin's throwing in. How does Jar Jar respond to that? I feel like he doesn't, like, it's going to be a kind of turn the other cheek thing, right? I see a couple things. You could be like, does he beg Darth Vader to not, you know, but you just, like you said, he knows it's too late, right?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, the second you see Vader, you're like, oh, shit, right? Oh, it's tough.
I'm trying to. What you want is almost like, because the most cinematic is like, also, again, I want to do the opposite of what so many people do, Vader. Like, I feel like Vader is Vader. Okay, this is also a story about you're seeing, like, Vader become Vader. And I feel like the most cinematic thing and, like, the thing where the audience is like, oh, shit, like, it's fucking over, is like, yes, Vader's there. He, like, right after Jar Jar tells Crokey a thing, it's like he fucking throws Jar Jar. He's fucking forcing him all over this fucking room, mm-hmm. smashing his skull in. Like, you're like, oh shit, my mm-hmm. God, like, he's gonna kill Jar Jar. And, like, he's like, you've lost. And then, like, outside the window, you see Crokey, and he just fucking destroys Crokey's ship. He's like, you've done nothing. You've done not, like, you know, you're gonna die, nothing, just like everybody else. And the fucking laser goes off. You know, it's like, oh, Jar Jar's lost everything, and he's with his best friend, and then he, like, crumples him down to the floor in front of him. Mm-hmm. And if you can find a way to get Jar Jar to, in the final, like, there's two things he has. He has a final physical moment and a final emotional moment. And the final physical moment, he does something clever and small that if we've set it up correctly, you're like, oh, like, he successfully, this last act he does something that frees somebody or does something that was important to him. That's a small thing, but we know what it is. And we're like, he did it. And then the final act, as I feel like he has some line to Anakin right before he dies, kind of like the Obi-Wan Kenobi to Darth Vader, like, mm-hmm. this is Pat. I don't know what it is yet, but, you know, it's like, I forgive you, or you're going to find, you know, I lied. I was wrong the first time. You aren't beyond redemption. And then he kills him. Like, Jar Jar almost essentially still being a good hearted person and feeling bad. The fact that he's about to get killed and the one thing he feels bad about is lying
to Darth Vader.
And he should be like, no, you know what? I wasn't lying. Like, I do think these can still be redeemed. And he's like, you're a fool. And he kills him. And then
that was something we talked about in the original episode, because again, yes, the person he saves ostensibly is Darth Vader.
Yes,
right. Like,
he lays the foundation for it.
Yes, if you do that in this moment, he, again, like, that was the other thing we talked about, is that he plants the seed of Darth Vader's eventual journey back to the light, right? Like, but again, we were joking about this, but literally in the scene where he throws the Emperor off the thing in Return of the Jedi, he would have a flashback to this moment or something like that. Or like the love that Luke shows him is sort of like presaged by this thing Darth
Vader. Oh, maybe Darth Vader throws him down into the planet.
He throws Jar Jar down?
Yeah, dude. You know what I'm saying?
He's like, oh, I feel bad about that.
I remember when I did this last time. That was pretty dope.
But yes, it's like, what would it be that the Jar Jar does, right? And yes, I like that there's no, like, everything fucks up, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is just now, how is he going to deal with Darth Vader, right?
Yeah, it feels like the way you play it, because, again, Vader is essentially emotionless in his mask. I feel like he swings the saber and, like, he stops it right there, and you're like, is he going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like his last night would just be something, like, cold, like, you know, a fool till the end, and then you're, like, waiting, and, like, even Jar Jar's waiting. He's like, are you going to do it? And then he just, like, flicks his wrist, and you don't see it actually happen. He flicks his wrist, and the body just falls off. He's like, yeah, he does it. And he just pauses, like, no, it fucking hurt him. Like,
yeah.
He wants to be cool and simple about it, but, like, he can't just do it, and then mm-hmm. it's done, and it's like, his last line affected him.
Like, yes, you would do, like, I'm trying to think of how to cinematically express it, right?
Yeah.
Which is the one thing Jar Jar accomplishes, essentially, is to put a stone in Darth Vader's shoe here, right? Or to, like, wound him, like, to essentially put a hole in his armor, or something like that. You know, like, that no matter what he does, like from now on? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. I'm trying to, this is a tough one.
The last moment between Invader.
Yes.
Good.
I think strip like, everything else out. And yes, it's about Darth Vader, right?
It does feel like you want some sort of practical victory though, because it is also, if the whole build up to like,
I hurt Darth Vader's feelings. Yes. It's a little like, okay.
This is a tough situation. A lot to chew on.
Oh man.
So we're going to take a quick break here and see if anything knocks loose when we come. There might not be a scene this week.
I think
there might be an outline of like what the heck to do with Jar Jar, because we kind of roll ourselves into a corner here.
I think we're going to give this one last go, one last heroic charge to see if we can actually figure out what the fuck to do this week.
It'll count if next week you write two scenes.
All right.
Well, I think we need one more.
This is what we get for saying we were going to finish it this week.
The first time Star Wars, it breaks everyone. Can't get to the ending.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Prepare yourself for the greatest pro wrestling podcast spectacular known as Tights at Fives. A back-dropping audio showcase that helps you understand the world of pro wrestling with a lot of love and no toxic masculinity. Featuring host Danielle Radford.
Time to kick butt and chew gum, and I'm all out of butts.
Lindsay Cal.
I'm a brutal Brit, and my fists were made to punch and hit.
And Hal Lublin.
I was doing the voiceover this whole time.
Hear us talk about pro wrestling's greatest triumphs and failures.
And make fun of its weekly absurdities.
On the Perfect Wrestling Podcast.
Tights and Fights. Every Saturday on Maximum Fun.
So, boys.
What do you got for us? It's been a day.
It's been a day. I was driving back home, kicking myself, chastising myself for my failure to break the scene like I always do. And then I came up with an idea.
All right. Okay.
And so I've reassembled the team. I want to pitch it. So, you know, we were playing around with this secret Sith idea with Nate 38, like this whole dash of mystery.
Yeah.
Now, what if this ties into a couple of things. Because we've been like, why can't the Emperor sense Jar Jar's treachery or whatever? Mm-hmm. And then like, what's going on with Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Vader investigating them? So what if you do this? Hear me out. You do an earlier scene where you do the Emperor is like, I sense something, some balance, right? Like, it was like, there's always balance in the Force. There's two of us. And then, you know, like we've wiped out the Jedi, but some light comes back. There's light rising to destroy us or something. Mm-hmm. And then we, the audience, are like, oh, he's sensing Qui-Gon Jinn. Oh, shit. Like, mm-hmm. Qui-Gon Jinn's coming back to fucking kill everybody. Mm-hmm. But no, it's Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
Jar Jar Binks is force sensitive,
okay.
but he doesn't know it. No one knows it because they overlook him as a doofus the whole time. But again, this is ultimately a story about how being a good person, like having the courage to do what's right, we want to place primacy on that value and celebrate that value, right? And that's what Jar Jar means to us, right? And like, what could be more light side than that? So here's what I'm thinking.
Okay. So this is a theory. You know this, right?
There's the dark Jar Jar secret Sith theory, right?
Which at least gets into the force sensitive thing. And, you know, one note is that people are like, he does do flips. No one else in the Star Wars universe does flippy dips.
Gungans do flips.
Except Jedi. It's Jedi and Gungans who do flippy dips.
My point being that you would do that. Jar Jar has this ability to see the good in absolutely everybody, mm-hmm. right? And that's what motivates him to, you know, be a good person. But you would do that goodness, there's a latent mystical force energy there. Like his ability to see the good in everybody is also part of like his connection to the force, which he doesn't realize, nobody realizes.
And his fighting style, which is like his nut-based fighting style. Yeah, his nut-based fighting style.
You do that in this last scene. Darth Vader shows up, you know, he wants to kill Jar Jar, you know, he blows up Croquet Seal, he wipes out the rebels, and then he mortally wounds Jar Jar, right? And then Jar Jar's on the ground dying, right? And Jar Jar still forgives him, essentially, right? And, you know, and Darth Vader is infuriated by this because, you know, like Darth Vader, his whole existential thing is, I used to be a good person, but the universe was so bad and fucked up to me that I became evil. It's the universe's fault.
Right.
Right. And then he's so mad that Jar Jar, despite everything, is still holding on to his good. He's like, no, I'm going to make you hate me, Jar Jar. And then he throws the switch to blow up the planet. The beam charges up. The laser goes down. Jar Jar feels, you know, like the Obi-Wan thing where he feels all the souls, you know, get extinguished.
Yeah.
Jar Jar feels all of the light in that city right before it's about to be extinguished, right? And then you do right before the beam hits the ground, Jar Jar fucking force stops the beam And like you do like a Goku level fucking anime, like he becomes the living force. And through the sheer power of goodness, the sheer power of Jar Jar, he's stopping that beam and holding it on the ground. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Like fucking Darth Vader's like, holy shit, what the hell's going on? You know, he's holding the thing like it's like this fucking big anime moment. And you do, the rebels have been trying to evacuate the planet, right? Like you do, like we see people like Jar Jar buys them just enough time before his strength gives out to save thousands of lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies. And everyone still hates him and thinks he was an asshole. But fucking Vader knows. Vader knows through Jar Jar's lesson that this whole idea that it's the circumstances of your life that make you evil, that's
okay.
Bullshit.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So it becomes a thing.
So it's both. He, you know, through this last act, he shows Vader that the light is more powerful than the dark. And then he also, you know, anyway, that was where I was thinking. And it feels fucking crazy. So I was like, maybe.
It does something that I think is a very important thing to do when it comes to juggling your IP, which is lean into fringe internet theories and validate
them. But nobody likes that theory. That's not a real theory.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You subvert it.
Yeah.
You subvert. You're like, yes, Jar Jar is secretly Force sensitive, but no, Jar Jar's not a fucking evil Sith. Jar Jar's a fucking latent Jedi master. This whole time.
Who doesn't know it? Yeah.
Because the Force isn't about cool fanboy posturing. It's about doing the right thing, goddammit.
I like the flow of it. I don't know. I'll be honest, like, it just feels like the sillier version of what we had because it's like, I don't know if there's one. I've always been bothered by like the whole, not to now we're just derailing. I've always been bothered by the whole, I thought The Last Jedi for all of its problems had the best idea, which is like, yeah, the goodness isn't the Force. The Force is literally midichlorians, is a fucking like gene thing. Like, like him doing goodness, like all that is just like, to me that plays into the fanboy posture. He's like, oh, like, who would win Goku versus this? Like, see, Jar Jar technically has more Force power, so therefore he beat Darth Vader because he's actually Force sensitive. It's like such a deus ex, and it's not set up in any way, and it's just like...
Well, I mean, we would set it up. That's what I'm saying. You like...
But then it's all about, like, you're just waiting for him to become a Jedi as opposed to, like, he's the kid with a broomstick. Like, he does the right thing. Like
listen,
I would even...
No. Hold on, Matt. I'm going to stop you right there. You can have both. You can have a kid with a broomstick and an aquatic animal that also is secretly... You can have both. This is a big universe, baby.
But there's just no reason for other than that. It's like, it's not a thing. It's just like...
Well, I'm trying to find a cinematic expression of what we're trying to say.
But like,
right?
So like, for example, like I would even, not that this works, but like I would even buy that exact ending, but instead he like throws himself into the gears or like holds onto something and like fucking electrocutes himself till he dies. And it's like, yeah, I don't have the Force. I'm not super powerful, but like I'm going to destroy my own body and pause the laser for like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's all like, I got it. I got it.
And I'm like, okay, yeah.
I got it. Here we go. This is early Empire tech, right? There's gears. There's like a mechanical component to it, okay? He throws them the panels, big old gears, whatever. He throws, like, no choice. Vader's right behind them. He's going to throw himself. He throws himself in there. And as he's crushed to death, suddenly the gears stop, and he's in excruciating pain. Why do they stop? They're caught on something. His massive iron balls. Jam up the works, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, he looks down and he realizes that it's like these gears can't turn because there's two indestructible
shit.
Spheroids.
That was his power all along.
That was
balls
his power.
Of steel.
Balls
that was how he was
of
able
steel. Because
it takes balls of steel to be a good person in this world.
Because, like, and by the way, think about this for a second. Like, you'll know this stuff. Like, I was just looking at some of these videos of Jar Jar talking about this Force Sith theory. That's another thing I see there, and that's when he flops to the ground, there's a certain density there that you don't expect, as if he's carrying a great burden somewhere slightly below his center of gravity, as it were. Do you know what I mean? I look at that as a trained visual effects animator.
Matt, I wonder if you're thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, which is that this is perfect, but we can't do it.
No, I mean, it's perfect because it's set up, so it's great.
It's set up not only in this movie, it's set up by the man, George Lucas himself.
If there was... I
take you to Exhibit A, the sound that Jar Jar makes when he nuts himself on the tank. Is it a light cloth rustle? I say it is not.
Is there anything
more
that...
powerful? Yeah, maybe the Force, maybe the Death Star. And that's what's crazy. By the way, what's crazy in Star Wars Episode 4, right? During the conference room scene, everyone's favorite workplace meeting scene in cinema, Darth Vader says to a doubting Thomas, the power to destroy planets, right, is insignificant next to the power of the Force. But that line has so much more meaning now because you know that DV is in the back of his head thinking, and it's like, and also the power of my former friend's balls.
Wait a second, but here's your dark ending. Here's your dark ending. Is you do Jar Jar has been reduced to ash in the gears of the machine. Mm-hmm. And then they go in to see what went wrong. And then Darth Vader pulls out this steel orb, right? His ball.
Okay, yeah,
and it's got one dent in it. And it looks like the Death Star. <He's> like,
this has given
the kilosphere.
This has given me another idea.
All right,
and,
all
it's
right.
Like, and then it shows, it proves that Darth Vader's a boss that just steals everyone's ideas.
He just Darth Vader steals everyone's ideas. All right, but for real though, I mean, yes, to your point. Look, ultimately, I don't get. Sometimes I just need to turn the volume up to 10,000 and boost all the gain to kind of see it.
Yeah, but like, yeah. No, you're right. I think him
getting up after he's been mortally slain and in his last move holds. You know, like he can't help himself. He has to try. Right.
Yes.
And then yes, Darth Vader seeing that and seeing that despite everything going on,
he forgives him. And then Vader like stabs him and kills him. And he's like, you know, you'll die a fool, always a fool. Like this is why your side will lose. Mm-hmm. And then Jar Jar literally in his final moments proves no that why his side will win is because even in the final moments they're gonna do.
He never gives up on.
They're never gives up. Right, and they're thing. Gonna do yeah. good. So like.
And we still have Balls of Steel.
You'd perfectly want to have, in the same way, like the broomstick at the end of Last Jedi. It's like if you had like Padme or Queen Amidala, somebody gave him something that symbolizes like, you know, whatever.
So that's
like,
fucking easy. We can do that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
like
time travel, baby.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what's, you know, this is, like, you know.
Okay, yeah, here's what it is. It's Jar Jar's birthday and like flashback Anakin Amidala is like, Jar Jar, thank you so much for your service to our planet. I have given you this long metal pole symbolizing our love. And then he uses the long metal pole, right? In our culture, Naboo culture, we're really into big, long poles for some reason. And then he uses the pole to, like, you know, like, arc a gap. And then Darth Vader's like, my God, is that the Padme long ass?
That's the pole metaphor.
That's the Padme arm.
That's the Padme pole. Shit.
After Queen Amidala dies, Jar Jar says, can I have her broken heart? And they give it to him. And then he falls in or whatever.
And then the heart starts beating again when it gets zapped the electricity and Padme becomes the space station.
It's like, because he's... Cause...
Anakin, what have you become?
What the hell? Who
what
said
the
that?
Shit?
So yeah, because they broke the Padme...
The Jaffor snippet?
Doll or whatever, right?
Unless you revealed that was fake.
That was fake.
But even if it's just made out of wood, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I know.
It's
yeah, like, but wood's a great electrical
insulator.
So what
we're saying is basically the beating heart of this thing winds up opened, right?
Yes.
And Jar Jar is going to
throw himself into it.
Yeah.
And then it's going to cause a big. And it's,
oh, you know what's cool too? We can do, because this is the prototype laser.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to work like the Death Star, which is a big atom bomb.
Yeah.
You know, you can use this big ass beam and it just starts fucking dragging its way across the city.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? So it's blowing shit up constantly.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then he's going to stop it.
Yeah.
Like, or at least hold it off long enough for someone to fucking escape.
So he. I mean, I could just be accused. He just throws himself in. It's just fucking gruesome.
Yeah, it's like it's the targeting thing, and he like grabs the reins of it, and it's white hot, and it melts through his skin, and he has to turn it around or whatever. You know?
I mean, like electricity always seems like a way where you're like, ooh, yeah. Ouch, that probably hurts, but it doesn't like, feel gory. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, that way you're not like, you know what I mean? Like, that feels like, again, that's why it's a good sci-fi movie thing. Like, the Emperor's like, we have no idea how much electricity it takes to kill someone, because not something we really experience like visually on a day-to-day basis.
Yes,
so, like,
yes.
The Emperor like zaps Luke. You're like, he could zap him for 3 hours, and Luke's like, and you're like, wow, I bet that really hurt, but you wouldn't be like,
yeah,
should be dead, right?
Because
abstract enough, the actor sells it with how fucking hard.
Although I will say, if I'm walking along and I see someone's bones, like, you know what I'm saying? If someone gets, if I can see your
walking along,
bones,
you see somebody's
yeah,
bones.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, because you know, like those movies when people get electrocuted, like for like one frame, you can see like their fucking
yeah, skeleton.
Bones. Yeah. If I see your bones after you get electrocuted, I'm like, that day dead. I saw the man's bones. The man touched something.
That's true, because you
I
know
saw
what?
Saw his skeleton, dog.
You see Darth Vader's skeleton for a second before he throws the Emperor off.
Yeah,
but
and then
you
it's like
don't
dead.
See Luke's skeleton.
That's
you don't
true.
See Luke's skull, but you do see Darth Vader's
That's
skull.
That's very true.
That's how you know he was dead. That's a kill shot in a skull theta. Here's what I'm thinking. If yes, you can find like some big metal thing. Like, okay, so like the power core reveals itself, right?
Yeah.
And there's like two big balls. There's two big, you know, there's like
arcing, yeah.
And there's a big arcing energy thing between them.
Yeah, it's
right?
like a real
and
Tesla
then you do,
coil.
Jar Jar's got a wrench because Dex was like, you gotta be the wrench in the works, kid, and gave him a wrench.
Yeah.
And he holds the wrench out
yes.
and the arc pulls to the wrench. He jabs the wrench into it, right? And now it's coursing through his body, and with his pure strength, he pulls the wrench. So that it arcs to the wrench and not to the other thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's able to stop the laser. and give people time to flee or whatever, and he's holding it, and then you do Darth Vader's like, no, what are you doing? No!
Yeah.
Something like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think if you do, because to your point, like, the interesting thing of, like, what does Jar Jar do when it's all gone? If, like, if his best friend kills him, and Kroke's dead, and everybody's dead, and he's watching this laser, like, fucking blow up the city, and it's, like, over, it's like, he could just fall, like, he could just die, but he takes his last strength, and he, like, yes, he's, it doesn't even have to be something symbolic, like, he just fucking, like, crawls, and does this final act and like pulls himself on, and then Darth Vader's like, what? And he turns back and runs, and Jar Jar's like and he comes in and it's just like, yeah, Jar Jar like fucking overloaded the system or whatever.
Then you could do if you want. I mean, this is
and then it could blow up. You could do that, like, that way you get both things. Like, New Center, like, a big chunk of New Center blows up because it's like a fucking gold member of the laser.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's blowing up. And then, yes.
I think gold member is your bull for that, not gold.
It's like gold finger.
You know that iconic scene in gold member?
Where did that scene come from? Yes. And then Jar Jar does something that overloads the system. And literally, I think it's like the whole station blows up. Like, fucking Darth Vader and the Emperor barely escape, and, like, the station blows up, and then, like, a bunch of ships are leaving New Centrif, and they've escaped. And, yeah, and then Darth Vader's like, looks like there's a fatal... We have to make sure our next laser doesn't have such an easy... next time we need a big tunnel that you have to get through in order to deactivate it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Yeah,
I buy that. I think so. And then...
Yeah, I buy it.
And then what's the final...
You have the sort of downfall montage. You have your ending, right?
Well, how do we have the downfall montage if they didn't do, like, the setup or whatever?
Well, no, you don't need that. I don't think we do the goons getting whacked, but you need Jar Jar.
Yeah, you see Jar Jar's statues getting torn down. You see
That's it. Yes, yes.
And that, I don't quite understand how we get to that. Does the Emperor, like, blame Jar Jar? Like, what winds up happening?
Oh, I mean, the Emperor's like, you know, again, it would be weakness to be like there's a traitor amongst our mix. Yeah. Like, so
yes, they make Jar Jar the hero of the Empire who stopped this critical malfunction from who saved the ship. Right.
Yes.
And like you would do that. If anything, you would do that. That's the way they spin it, is rather than the station blows up, because who cares? Right.
Yeah.
But he destroys the laser. But you do like, wow, like Jar Jar saved everyone's lives.
Yes.
And then you recognized a flaw in the design. You know?
And they lie that anybody from New Centrif escaped. They say the whole town was destroyed. You know, thanks to Jar Jar, he stopped the rebels. You know, the critical, you know, died stopping the resistance from killing the Emperor or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, yes, all everybody's like, Jar Jar fucking knew Jar Jar was a traitor all along. Damn. Okay. So it's like, what's like your final bun?
Oh, you know what you do? This could be cool how you do it. Like, you do the laser, like, it's like a cone. Like, it shoots out, like, and it hits the ground, and it's, like, one beam, and then there's an aperture that expands, and then you see it, like, fucking, like, do you know what I mean? Like, and then it's just a wall of laser death, like, expanding as a circle to consume the city.
Yes.
And then you do people running for the, you gotta get someone running from a big energy wall or whatever, and then you do, Jar Jar's thing stops it in its tracks.
Yes.
That's cool as shit, yeah.
Do you want, like, is there, like, a final... bun? Is there like, this is stupid, this is now I get the appeal of like what JJ Abrams and stuff does, but like the kid, like, okay, everybody thinks Jar Jar is a bad guy, but the kid who came on Father's to Work Day or whatever, like, saw this happen, and then you see like he was hiding and he sees it, and then you realize, ooh, who is that? It's Poe Dameron, because Dad's a TIE fighter pilot, and then he's like, I think the Empire is bad.
What's your name, kid?
Poe Dameron.
Ray Star Wars.
Like, one person who knows Jar Jar was a hero. No, Jar Jar doesn't.
I feel like I like just keeping it as Vader.
Vader's
the only one who knows.
Because
I'm like, why the fuck would this kid tell people what he saw?
Exactly.
Unless you do that, Poe Dameron grew up trying to tell everyone that Jar Jar was a hero and he got his ass beat.
Oh, okay. Just the way you show in terms of the positive thing that Jar Jar did, because like them all fleeing in a ship, you need that human element. So I think you see those ships land, and like Bail Organa meets them, and they're seeing the TV about Jar Jar, and he's like, you know, it's like you want that moment where like everybody's fleeing, and then they're like, "You're citizens, you're safe." He's like, "Yes, but we're not citizens anymore. Like, we're joining, we're the rebellion." And they like, you know, Bail Organa, like, it's like, all right, like, yeah, like he saved all these like innocent people, and now they're joining the rebellion because they're gonna take down the Empire. And Jar Jar is like, let's just never say his name again. They spit on the ground or something. Okay. Yeah. I mean.
All right. So here's what I'm proposing. Okay. We kind of blew past extra innings on this episode.
Yes, we did.
So here's what I'm thinking. That's the plan. Next week, we drop the entire fucking movie.
Yes.
With all of our sort of like notes incorporated, right? Yes. Like we've had our little like, oh, we got to do this, that, and the other. Yes. We'll try our best to clean that up.
Yes.
And we'll have a whole
audio drama.
Yeah. And we'll have the new ending put in so you can see how it came out. And we'll drop all of that as next week's episode.
Yes. Yeah. All right. And then we'll get Kathleen's notes and our notes. And, you know, it's like Star Wars is a process. This is the first draft.
Star Wars is a process.
We'll do the special edition. We'll do the remasters. All right. Well, that's going to be Story Break this week.
All right. We did it.
We haven't done. I haven't done it yet. We got to go. We got to go
write the Story Break part. Yeah. You know, but I don't see this part. I don't see your part.
So, head on over to twitter.com/RJStoryBreak to check out tons of cool fan art, or head over to bit.ly/StoryBreakFB to join the discussion on Facebook.
Also, head on over to MaximumFun.org for all your great podcast needs. We're part of the Maximum Fun Network. Check them out. Check out all the other shows on there. Thank you to Chad Ellis, who edits this podcast. And thank you to my co-hosts for cranking through this one. Oh,
yeah,
boy,
baby.
This is a tough one. Anyway, we'll see you folks next week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. I don't know. I feel bad that we didn't give a scene today. So, like, interior, Freddie's apartment, Matt, Will, and Freddie say goodbye.
Oh, there you go. Wow. It's like I'm right there.
Right there. Real action line. All right, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye.
Hi, are you someone who thinks that when one door closes, another one opens?
Someone who always sees the light at the end of the tunnel.
If you answered yes to one or both of these questions, good for you.
We are not those people.
Nope. I'm Annabelle Gurwitch, and I'm a, you know that other door opening? It probably leads to a broom closet kind of person.
And I'm Laura House. When I see a light at the end of a tunnel, I assume it's a train headed right toward me.
Laura and I have created a brand new podcast for people like us. It's called Tiny Victories. We're sharing personal tiny victories or things we've read or seen that inspire resilience.
So if you're looking for a tiny reason to get out of bed each week, subscribe to Tiny Victories.
Available on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get tiny.